And the time that's left, we'll just a few thoughts on the psalm that's been read to us this morning, Psalm 19. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it hard to understand what people are trying to tell me, especially if it's from the other side of the room and they're making some kind of sign language, or their lips are moving but no sound's coming out. I can never get the thread of what people are trying to tell me. Now, I do know that this means that somebody wants you on the telephone. This means, would you like a cup of tea or something stronger? And if in church and Helena does this, I know it's time to finish. But that's about the limit. That's about the limit of my sign language. I find it hard to get what people are saying to me from a distance. But of course, it's not just that. There are times when we are spoken to, and although we hear what people say, perhaps we're not listening very closely. And there are just sometimes when we're listening to what people say, we just haven't got a clue what they're talking about. We had an experience a few years ago in Gateshead, in the big art gallery there on the riverbank. And we had one of our Spanish friends with us, we had Manolo with us, and we'd gone in to see this very acclaimed art exhibition, which is completely lost on me anyway. And then there was a lecture room, and there was a presentation going on, a video presentation, and a commentary. And the lady artist on the video was speaking about her inspiration and her works of art. And Manolo said, "What was that all about?" And I said, "To be honest, I haven't a clue." I said, "No, I understood the words, but I don't know what the whole thing was about." And I'm sure that happens to us perhaps very often. Fortunately, God isn't like that. When God speaks, he speaks clearly, whatever format he uses. The writer to the Hebrews tells you now that God has spoken in many and varied ways. He's spoken by his prophets, and in the last days, he's spoken to us by Jesus Christ. And here David, in this Psalm 19, he tells us about God, who is the God who speaks to us. He is the Creator God. He is the one who sees all things. David calls him our Redeemer. But essentially, God here is the God who speaks. And we have perhaps different ways here that David mentions that God speaks. He speaks in creation. We get God's sound bites. I suppose we call them tweets, wouldn't we, nowadays? Tweets from heaven. God's glorious handiwork. And Paul reminds us in Romans 2, you know, that although people perhaps are ignorant of God and don't know God, they can know him through the work of his power. In Romans 1, Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And I guess that's still very much the same today. But then Paul says, "What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made." So they are without excuse. God has clearly and plainly revealed himself through the work of creation. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we can sit back and do nothing. Because I can say, maybe people in other parts of the world have a different testimony, I've never known anybody come up to me and say, "I have trusted in Jesus because I looked at the sky." The sky, the creation tells us all about God. But we need to speak to people. We need to explain to them who he is. Because sadly, the message of creation is one mostly, as Paul says here, a message of condemnation. They are without excuse. They cannot say we have never had any information from God, because it's clear to be seen. And then David reminds us about the spoken or the written word of God. And we get searching words from the law of God. Warren Wiersbe says, if the heavens declare the glory of God, then the law declares his grace. The heavens declare his glory, and in the law of God we get to see something of the grace of God. And David here uses different words, different means of describing the scriptures. He calls them in verse 7, the law of the Lord. And this was the Torah, the instruction manual, where the Jews, especially the boys, were taught about God. And he says, you know, God's law is perfect. It needs nothing added to it. I remember being quite shocked when we first went to Spain to hear folks say, well, you know, I know God's word says this, but, and then came there, adjustment of God's word. I know God's word says this, but I am going to do something different. Because they felt that God's word didn't really fit in with their situation. And I was quite shocked that people felt they needed to modify God's word. It doesn't need any modification. It is perfect as it is. It includes everything that we need to know and everything that we need to do. And our responsibility is to obey God's word. David says it's sure and right. It's trustworthy. Who do you trust these days? Very difficult to know who you can trust, isn't it? I mean, so many things have happened in the world. We've had the scandals in the Roman Catholic Church and in the Anglican churches. We get, despite all the CRB checks, the paedophiles still manage to get into our schools and do their work. Who can you trust? Well, yeah. Who can you trust? And David says, God's word is trustworthy. God is worthy of our trust. And he says, God's word is enriching. I suppose many people, even with the economic crisis around the world, in Europe and in our own country, still have that hope of one day they will become rich. But nothing enriches our lives like the word of God. David says, in keeping them, there is great reward. God's word is more precious than gold, than much pure gold. Is that a tremendous thing? God's word. In Spanish it says, God's word restores or revives the soul. And the Spanish word for revive or restore is restaura, which is spelled R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A. Stick N-T on the end and you've got restaurant. God's word is God's restaurant. It's where he feeds us from. It's where we get all the best nutrition for our spiritual lives. And God's word is a word of warning as well. I don't know if you've ever ignored a warning knowingly. I know very often if you're sort of at the seaside and you're coming to the harbour, there's always this rather peculiar picture of a car balancing on the harbour wall. Just to let you know that if you're not careful, you'll go into the sea. Recently, I ignored a warning in France. I was driving down to Spain, and there was a warning that the road was closed. Now, one thing that I worry about when I'm driving through France is that there might be a diversion, because I can't speak or read French, and I have no idea where they're going to take me. So I thought, well, maybe they forgot to remove the sign. I'll go down the road anyway. Well, of course, it was cut off and I had to turn back. I did an extra kilometre for nothing. And I just had to use the diversion and trust that they'd put all the signs that I needed to get me back onto the road again. Unfortunately, they had. But, you know, it's foolish to ignore a warning, isn't it? You can get yourself into all sorts of trouble. And it's foolish to ignore God's word, because it will get us into far more serious trouble than just going down a road that's cut off. And David says, if we follow God's word, there will be great reward. We won't be rewarded because we do it. Like if you say to a child or to somebody else, now if you do this for me, I will do this. Or if you do this, I'll reward you. That's why we all go to work, isn't it? Because they reward us at the end of the week or the end of the month. We don't get rewarded by God because we do it, but our reward comes as we do it. We are rewarded in the doing and in the obedience of serving God. And it's fine that God speaks to us. But do we really want God to speak to us? This is the great question that David faces up to at the end of the chapter. And he says, who can discern his errors? Keep your servant from willful sins, that they may not rule over me. Because this is the big question, isn't it? It's good to acknowledge that God speaks, and God still speaks today. But the important question is, do I really want God to speak to me? And what would I like God to say? That's quite something to think about, isn't it? Do I really want God to speak to me, to challenge me about my life? And of course, if we want God to speak to us, humility is essential. David calls himself the servant of God. Keep your servant from willful sins. Show me, Lord, where I am weak. Now, I suppose that most of us know that already. We know where our weaknesses lie. But to have your weaknesses shown up by somebody else really makes you aware of them. Because whilst we can acknowledge areas in our lives where we are weak, it's easy at the same time to ignore them. How often have you heard people say, well, that's just the way I am. If they're quick-tempered or they've got some other personality trait that's not perhaps very positive, people say, well, that's just me. That's the way God made me. That's the way I've been brought up. But you see, we can't ignore or excuse our weaknesses. David knew where he was weak. But he says to the Lord, keep me from willful sins. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep me from willful sins that they may not rule over me. Because, Lord, I need your help. And that's one of the essential phrases, isn't it, of the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Because if we really want God to speak to us, he won't just congratulate us or give us a pat on our back, but he'll be like our very best friend who will show us where we are going wrong. It's great that God speaks to us in this wonderful, pure and holy way. So then we should speak to God and others, following his pattern. And of course, it's not always our spoken words, is it? God knows our thoughts as well. God hears our thoughts. I've often heard people say, what would it be like if our ears worked in reverse and they worked as loudspeakers and all your thoughts were coming out and people could hear what you were thinking, and instead of it going in, it was coming out? How embarrassing would that be? But God hears and sees all those thoughts. And so David prays at the end, not only that God would forgive him, that he might be blameless in his sight, but he makes this prayer that all his words and all his thoughts would please and glorify God. Because God is his rock, God is his Lord, and God is his Redeemer. And if God is our Redeemer, if we know God through trusting Christ, then surely the Word of God should be that most important part of our life. And our words should come under the dominion and under the control of God the Holy Spirit, that always and at all times, although we're not speaking perhaps all the time about spiritual things, but all our words should be honouring and glorifying to God and pleasing in his sight. So as we speak to each other afterwards, we can talk about all sorts of things, but let's remember that all our thoughts and all our words should glorify God in the same way that his word enriches our lives. Amen.